Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Danny Shapiro, and this is The Way We Live Now. Today is day 113 since we started wondering if we'd ever get haircuts again, and day 57 of this podcast. For years now, part of what I do as a writer and teacher of writing is I lead retreats, large gatherings of folks who want to explore, recharge, renew. There are retreat centers all over the world that are so important to thousands and thousands of people. What will happen to these oases of spiritual and practical learning? One of the most famous of these is the Omega Institute in upstate New York. My guest today is Elizabeth Lesser, best-selling author and co-founder of Omega. Elizabeth, thank you so much for talking with me about the way we live now.
Thank you for having me.
Describe for us where you are. Paint us a picture. As we're having this conversation, what are you surrounded by? Where are you sitting? What are you looking at?
Well, I'm in the room where I write, my office, in my house, where I imagine most of us are these days. I live in the Catskill Mountains in a little town called Woodstock, New York. And I'm looking out my window at trees, at my garden. I've finally had the time, because I'm not working all the time, to pay attention to my gardens. So they're looking rather splendid, if I do say so myself.
I've been hearing that a lot. I've been hearing a lot about not just people tending more to their gardens and to the nature around them, but actually noticing more, too. So how have you been spending the last 3 or so months?
I just looked at the calendar today and I saw that it's pretty much exactly 4 months from the last time I left this little town. And I've been spending it, you know, in the beginning, I thought, oh, all of these undone projects. Yes, I will have so much free time and I shall attend to all of this, from deep cleaning closet ideas to, you know, all sorts of ideas. But actually, I've been working so hard, so much, because besides being a writer and having a book coming out in September, more than that, I am the co-founder of a large educational nonprofit. And even though I am the co-founder and not a full-time staff person anymore, because we had to shut down and lose an entire year's worth of savings, and I mean, money, income, and we don't have any savings like most nonprofits, we are scrambling. You know, we had to lay off a lot of people and we have to reimagine ourselves on how to be a residential retreat and conference center post-COVID in a new world. So that's been taking a lot of my time. Also, one of my sons and his wife and little kids live next door to me. So I got very involved in homeschooling the kids and being grandma, since there aren't many other babysitting options. So it's been super, super busy. And being a news junkie, I've also just been, I feel so emotionally engaged in the world. It has not felt like what I thought it might be, like sort of a retreat. Mm. It has not felt
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I really wanted to ask you about Omega, you know, which you mentioned you're the co-founder of the Omega Institute, which is just one of the country's most special and renowned retreat and conference centers. And I keep on trying to imagine, you know, the same way that crowd scenes in movies now suddenly seem like, wait, no, don't do that. There's like the feeling of, or the fantasy of hundreds and hundreds of people very closely together, you know, packed into rooms and cafeterias and, you know, doing that not for work, but as a way to gather and renew and relax. How are you imagining the future? Like what now? What next?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, it's such a complicated question and answer, because it seems to me that, you know, this doesn't seem to be a time to know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. There's such enormous discomfort in all of us, in myself for sure, but I've noticed everyone. I've actually noticed it in humans forever. Like, we like to know what's going to happen. And that sense of helplessness of not knowing what's going to happen. But actually, this doesn't seem to be a moment to know what's going to happen. It's a moment to dream about what could emerge from this. So when I talk about what might emerge from it, I actually have no idea what I'm talking about. I mean, we could get a vaccine and we could all get it every year and be free from it. And then us human beings, we just go back to the way it always was. But I actually don't think that is the truth. And I think we're all going to have to reimagine our lives. And when I take a big, you know, 100-foot look at things, I'm like, that's cool. That's good. We needed to reimagine our lives and our businesses and all the travel we do. And but when I am down in the weeds, which I am at least more than half of the time, it's overwhelming what a place like Omega Institute, which, as you said, welcomes about 30,000 people a year to our campus, which is, you know, people living and eating and learning together in large crowds. That just couldn't happen this year at all. And probably if we open again next year, it'll have to look different. But one thing I know for sure, the urge to gather together is not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's at a Bruce Springsteen concert or a church or wherever it is we've gone, you know, like Jesus said, when two or more of you gather, I am there. The I am there, the sense of like when we gather together to celebrate or mourn or learn, there's something so magical. A third thing comes in and helps. And, you know, people are saying, well, what about online learning? That's all good. And we are trying to pivot to that. But it's not the same
mm-hmm.
as being in nature with a group of people committed to either some kind of self-transformation or inner work or renewing your career or learning new skills. It's just so human. It's like the old gathering at the Oasis and sharing ideas across culture and across disciplines. I know it will come back. I know the urge will never go away. And how it changes us, I don't know. The real challenge right now for all nonprofits and all learning institutions is, can we stay alive long enough to figure out what the next is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes so much sense to me. And I love what you said about the, you know, the long view and the weeds and how much time you're spending in each. And Me too. I think mm-hmm. we all are struggling with the idea that the very notion of plans. I mean, I've come to the realization that plans are just they were fantasies. you know, and any kind of imagining of, you know, next week I'm going to do this or this afternoon I'm going to do that is always, you know, has been and will always be, you know, as, you know, the old Jews say, God willing. And now here we are and we really don't know.
Yeah, I used to always, my tradition is Sufism, which is mystical Islam, and God willing in Arabic is inshallah.
Right.
And I always used to just like, when my teacher would always say inshallah, it just, you know, sounded like, yeah, I know we're supposed to be in the moment, but like, you know, us people, we like to plan. But when something like this hits you, and I think what's so powerful right now is, you know, it hits you if you get a terrible health diagnosis, if you lose your job, you know, all the unknowns that can happen in a split moment. But this is happening to the entire fabric of our life. There's nothing that isn't being touched, from financially to socially, politically, health-wise, family-wise, education-wise. Everything is being touched. So it's so radically upsetting. And one thing I've just been practicing over and over, and I hope everyone is, it's just being really kind to our poor selves mm-hmm. who are so befuddled every day. It's like you wake up, it's Groundhog Day. Really? We're going to go through this all over again? It's just like, hey, it's okay. This is a befuddling time.
That's gentle and beautiful. You know, I wanted to ask you, you've written several best-selling books, all of which I love. But the one that I've been thinking about during the pandemic is Broken Open, and the subtitle of Broken Open, which is where I first encountered you. I first encountered you on the page, and I felt that you were speaking directly to me. And the subtitle is How Difficult Times Can Help Us Grow. Can you speak at all in particular to, you know, these are really unusually difficult times. We couldn't have dreamt this up. And talking about the future in terms of what it's going to look like is all conjecture. But we also are, I'm so aware every day, it's still a day. It's still the only day, you know. And I know personally that I'm trying so hard to not wish these days away. You know, let's get to September when colleges
right.
open, maybe, and my son can mm-hmm. go back to school. Or let's, you know, I've accepted invitations for in-person events, you know, next June, you know, a year from now. Like, let's get to a place where we can do that. That's wishing time away when time is our only and most precious commodity.
Right.
So how do we grow within these times?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we go back to what I said before. There's the weeds, and then there's the bigger perspective. And first of all, when we're in the weeds, not to think there's something that we're failing, especially if we're kind of people who've considered ourselves on some sort of spiritual path or healing path our whole life. Like, to be freaking out and upset and like, whoa, the first few weeks for me, I was just a terrible version of myself. I was angry and acting out all over the place with my colleagues at work as we were all trying to figure out what to do. So like in the weeds of it all, in the not knowing and the discomfort of not knowing and the fear of having lost your job or not being able to make your rent, all the stuff that's happening to all of us, having a lot of self-forgiveness, first of all, toward ourselves, so that this is hard. This is hard. So it's okay to be a jerk sometimes. And at the same time, to be super forgiving of other people, especially those poor people we live with. You know, like, it's hard for all of us, and to have a lot of spaciousness in our relationships And even in our relationship to the news and to other people, and to not to feed this time of great discomfort with more discomfort toward yourself. So that's the weedy part. And then how to grow in the more, the bigger dimension. And this really helps me. I don't know if it helps other people as much as it helps me, but it helps me to know that, you know how in Charles Dickens, his most famous book, A Tale of Two Cities, my mother made me memorize the opening lines. She was an English teacher. So he says, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. And he was writing that in, you know, mid-1800s about the French Revolution, to remember that, like, this is just what happens to our species on this planet. This has happened before, mm-hmm. whether it's wars or other pandemics or whatever tragedies befall cultures. Cultures come and go. Cultures rise and then have a reckoning and need to reinvent themselves. Cities, towns, communities. This is what happens. And we've lived in a relatively peaceful and bountiful time in this country. Even those of us who aren't wealthy, even those of us who struggle, this has been a relative long string of bountiful times. And we're not in one right now, and it may get worse. And to think that there's something like having a tantrum, like, no, it shouldn't be this way. Well, actually, this is the way it always is. And I think if we'd been paying attention to what's going on with things like climate change and the vast inequity of wealth and all the other problems and the rise of tyranny and the practical civil war cleaving in our country, something was gonna have to wake us up. And this is what's happening now. I do believe it, and I do believe that if we band together and work together, it could actually be a wonderful, wonderful, hopeful time. It's not going to feel like that, and it could take a decade or two, but I like to have that historical perspective. It helps me not have a personal tantrum.
I love that, and thank you for reciting the Dickens. No. That was, yeah. I needed to hear that, and I think everyone else will too. You know, I usually end these conversations by asking, what's bringing you hope? But really, you're talking about that. That's
exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, and I, you're saying something that I have been trying to articulate from the beginning of the COVID crisis, which is we're always living through a moment in history. We're always doing that, but we really are doing that now. This is, mm-hmm. We are living in, they're not even unprecedented times. We're living in a very intense time, and these intense times have come and they've gone and they've come and they've gone like waves. And the question is really, do we learn and do we grow from them?
I sometimes like to say with great tenderness, these are our times. These are ours. And we can do with them what we want. And these have been given to us. We've created them. We are at the effect of them. But they're ours. And what are we going to do with them?
Elizabeth, thank you so much. This is such a rousing conversation. And I can't wait for people to hear.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Way We Live Now. Tell us the way you're living now. We want to hear. Call us on, you might want to get a pen for this, 909-713-8995. That's 909-713-8995. And record your story, and we might just use it on the pod. Also, you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/thewaywelivenowpod. We are creating a community here, and we would love for you to join us.
You can find me on Instagram at Danny Ryder. The Way We Live Now is a production of iHeartRadio. It's produced by Lowell Berlanti. Beth Ann Macaluso is executive producer. Special thanks to Tristan McNeil and Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.